Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
We don't need to utter but three words. Vocabulary to others. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. There are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. The word is here. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And there are some others who tell people in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, South Carolina, we are saying something else. We want all of our rights, and we want all of our rights here in Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina. voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in calm action plan must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
It is Saturday night, and it's Experiencing Spiritual Unity and Meditation with the man himself, Dr. Benjamin Bridges. We're going to bring him right on. He's out in the city, out and about, but he still want to call in and say, give everybody a shout.
Yes, sir, my brother. Glad to be able to be on the show with my people. Because right now,
I have a feeling we're going to definitely be able to make some real great and positive things come about. You know? But like you said earlier, we just got to come together in unity, and then we're going to be able to bring some positive change into our community. Instead of being at each other's throats, it's better for us to be in unity and in harmony and working together. And that's the thing that we really need to do. Because once we can raise our consciousness and raise our feelings of wanting to help each other and to be a blessing to one another, that's when we can really the blessings of God are going to start to shower down on all of us. And we're going to start to see some grace and tremendous changes. But as long as we're going to be at each other's throats, you know, that's a whole other joke. Because the bottom line is, you know, we really need to come together in unity. And, you know, I know the brainwashing has been there for a long time, trying to tell us through the music, trying to tell us through many other things that we just need to, you know, not really try to work with each other, but try to really work against each other. And that's basically the vibe that's been out there against our people for a while. But now, I do believe that we're going to be able to turn a lot of that negativity around and get rid of that terrible frown that our people have against one another. Because when we actually can come together in harmony, and when we actually can start to accept each other as good brothers and sisters to, you know, really bring about some positive change, that's when things are really going to happen for us. And especially with our youth right now, because as I said before, when you have the youth actually killing each other every week, you know, it doesn't make any sense, you know? But the only reason why it's happening is then you have that music, you have a lot of brainwashing that has been going on for many, many years in our community to have us to be against each other, not to be for each other. And these are things that we can definitely overcome. We just need to refocus on seeing things from another perspective. You know, not this perspective of coming together as a people in harmony, coming together in regards to really wanting to be a blessing to each other. Instead of being at each other's throat and trying to, you know, really bring each other down and out. And now, unfortunately, that's, you know, are the negative things that will never work out for us if we keep focusing on things from that perspective. Anyway, these are the things that I'm really looking forward to, and I'm really very thankful that things have, you know, come through to the point where there are quite a few people whose hearts and minds are really open to want to come together in unity. And it doesn't make a difference what religion you're in. It doesn't make a difference, you know, what country you're from. The bottom line is that we're just going to be coming together and turning things around. And we will turn it around. We just need to get rid of that negative ground. This is the last stop for brainwashing that has been placed in front of us.
harmoniously got a lot of positive response from people from different religions and community organizations and things like that. So personally, I know that this can happen, and it's not even a question of can it happen or might it happen. It's a serious opportunity for us, but we just have to really begin to see, you know, those opportunities come about. And that means that, you know, even with the petition that we have right now against the terrible nigger hate music, and that was one thing that a few of our black lawyers were talking about, and they were stating that what we really need to do is to get a few hundred different folks to come together for us and sign the petition, and having that as a backup to show that people in our community are really with us, that's going to really make a huge difference in, you know, us being able to move forward with this. And right now we do have quite a few signatures of people that are a part of what we're doing, but we still need to see what we can do to get additional ones. And like I said, get a few hundred, not a, you know, 10 or 20 people, but a few hundred folks, and then we can start to move forward on this. But things are looking good with that, and I'm really glad to see. About with that, we just need to really start to see that these are things that can be. But anyway, that's one part of it. The other thing is also financial. We do need to really start to see that financial possibility as well. And once we start to see what we can financially do to help each other, to protect ourselves and our people financially so that we can definitely improve ourselves, that's when we're going to really start to see some great and wonderful opportunities come about as well. So all I can say at this point is that I'm really very, very thankful for the great blessings that we have an opportunity to receive at this point. And I know as a people we can really make it happen. You know, it's not even a question of might we be able to, but we'll definitely be able to. And we just need to keep that positive thinking pattern within ourselves and know for a surety that we can turn this negativity that's in our community totally around. The murdering of our kids, the even murdering of our adults, the we're hearing each other call each other niggers, which is really not even a nickname that came from us. And, you know, in the schooling system, that was one of the things that really, you know, surprised me too, because I was talking to some of the youth in the schools, and they were telling me, well, what's wrong with us calling each other niggers? That's a nickname that we made up, you know, so why is that something we shouldn't do? And I said, wow, you were told that that was a nickname that we made up? That was a racist, you know, insulting name that was placed upon us as a people. And it means that you are a worthless piece of crap. And for us to want to really embrace that and to really want to deal with that, you know, is something that we shouldn't do. But the bottom line is, if you're going to think that this is something that was really positive and it was really something that you should be glad to have that name, you know, and it's a nickname that we made up and all of that. But that's not the truth. It's not a nickname that we made up. And, you know, when you really start to know the history of, you know, our folks and where different things came from, that's when you can really start to have a clearer picture of how you can place different things in different places. And one of the things about dealing with calling each other niggers, that's something that we can definitely flush down the toilet, because we don't need to deal with that, you know. And it's not a nickname that we made up. You know, that's another lie that was added into things. And that's not a nickname that we should honor or be glad that we have for one another. That's really something that is, you know, a terrible, you know, insulting, racist name that was given to us. And unfortunately, we got caught up into dealing with that name, even though it's something that, you know, we never made up. But anyway, these are things that we need to know and that we really need to get rid of, because, you know, that's one of the reasons why knowing your history is very important. Because when you know your history, you can go and see what you can do to really bring some positive perspective into play. That way you can start to, you know, show people that, you know, you're aware of who you are and some of the great and wonderful things your people have done, you know. And unfortunately, with this society, that's one of the things that they, you know, had mentioned, that they wanted us not to have Black history in the school system, you know. And it doesn't make any sense on why they don't want you to have that. You know, the only reason why something like that is totally ignored, and that is because, you know, they don't want you to know the truth about who you are and what your people have achieved and what you're capable of achieving. Because if you're never told about the great things that your people have done in the past, then basically you're not going to really be looking forward to trying to do a lot of great things that you're capable of doing. But that's why knowing your history is very important, because we have done great things in the past as a people. And being that we were the first people that were here on planet Earth, we were able to accomplish quite a few things, because the family of the human race has been around here, you know, for hundreds of years, you know. And the sad thing about it is that, you know, we really just don't know things that we can accomplish as well, because there are Black historians that are quite a few that are around, and all we would have to do is share with them the desire to really get to know different things about, you know, where we are. And the other thing was the program that we had mentioned before, that $15 program. That's also something that is very good to know about, because with that $15 program, again, it makes it a lot more presentable to our people to know that all they have to do is come up with just a few dollars and they'll be able to really make some things come about. And that's where we need to be. Because once we can start to really acknowledge, you know, that, you know, we do have good programs that can financially set us free from poverty and financial struggling and stuff, that's when our people can really, you know, actually become very successful, very, you know, freed up from, you know, the pain and aches of poverty. And these are some of the things that we need to share as well. And that $15 program is one of those programs that could really allow our folks not just to think they might be able to make it, but really be able to make it. So anyway, I'm really very thankful right now that we do have this program on the table, and all our people need to do is start to acknowledge and know for surety that as we get into this and share this with folks in our community, our $15 program, that, you know, there's definitely an opportunity to make some serious money. Because in 3 to 4 weeks, if you could take that $15 and then make $30,000 to $40,000, yeah, that's not no problem in regards to being able to really,
make some great and wonderful things happen. But the bottom line, once again, is that we need to know for surety that, you know, there are positive financial programs in our community that aren't costing us an arm and a leg at $500, at, you know, $800, you know, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 in order for you to join into those programs. You know, those programs do definitely exist. They're out there, you know, and you got to really cough up a serious amount of cash if you're going to deal with that. But the bottom line is when you can get into it and benefit tremendously from the program and all you have to do is put up $15, that is great. And all I can say at this point is that I'm really very, very glad to see that, you know, this opportunity is here for you and me, all of us, you know, can benefit from this. But the big part of the problem is that, you know, because we've been burnt in the past and we've run into bad situations in the past, that's the reason why a lot of us don't even want to take a chance in the present. But don't keep that negative thinking, you know, on the table. Yes, we, in our lifetime, we, all of us are going to make a mistake one time or another. That's not even a question. But the bottom line is, can we ever make a successful situation come about? And I know we've been told that we can't, but the bottom line is we don't need to listen to the brainwashing that, you know, black people cannot really achieve great positive things in their lives. I mean, we can. But the bottom line is you have to be able to see that these are things that we can really start to bring into our lives. Great abundance of wealth and prosperity, great opportunities that can not only just change our lives, but change our community. So anyway, with that being said, I know at this time I do have a brother that has spoken on this $15 program for quite a while. And being that he has, he's here with us now. Brother Norman, if you could explain in more clear understanding of how that $15 program could really be a great blessing and help our people to really benefit financially, that would really be great. And Brother Norman, are you there now?
Yes, I'm here. Could you hear me?
Hello, Brother Norman.
Okay, could you hear me?
Okay, because I know Brother Norman said he was going to come on with us at this point. So I just wanted to see if he was there, you know, with us right now.
He's on.
Okay, well. Well, Brother Ron, do you see Brother Norman on the call with us at this point?
Yes, he's on. Can you hear me? He's on.
Brother Ron, do you see that?
He's on the line.
Huh?
Yes, he's here. Brother Norman is on the line.
Okay, great. Brother Norman, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Great. That's good. Yeah, I wanted you to explain, you know, how that $15 program can be very helpful to our people, and especially being that they just have to cough up $15 instead of $1,500 or $2,000. You know, that's a, you know, a great opportunity for them. And I'm really just very glad to see that that's an opportunity that's on the table that we can definitely take advantage of. And if you could share, you know, how it can be a great, you know, opportunity for us at this time, that would really be great. So, yeah, my brother, if you could start to share with us how that can be a great opportunity, that would be great.
Okay, I'll do the best that I can. Of course, the opportunity can generate millions upon millions of dollars, and it would especially be beneficial in large numbers. When large numbers of people, we come together as an entire group for one cause, a beneficial cause, then it's absolutely going to work, especially when you have the stability of a seven-year-old company. The name of the company is called Club Biz Smart. And when I first was introduced to the program, being in the industry for 46 years, I wanted to come from a different point of view. I didn't want to do the regular stuff that I did all those years because folks were basically needing income and wanted to talk about how they can, you know, to create the generates an income. They didn't want to hear all of the basics about it a little bit, so you know that the company is stable. And because I mean, you know, I mean they got a lot of marketing plans out there, but if you don't have a stable company that can deliver, then what good is it? So anyway, Club Biz Smart. I normally like to spell it so people know what I'm saying. It's a C-L-U-B, and then another B, I-Z as in zebra, and S-S-M-A-R-T, Club Biz Smart. Actually was launched in February of 2015. That makes it 7 years old. And what really impressed me, because I got certain factors I look for when I marry up with a company, what really impressed me is Ron Ellis, that's the owner's name, his being concerned about, he's a stickler, I should say, for paying monies out on time. And, you know, he had paid out over $2 million even before he launched the company. Of course, that was in pre-launch, but that is very impressive because very few people do that. They accomplish that. But this guy paid out over $2 million before he even opened the doors to the company. And, you know, that was one of the things I was looking for. And another thing that I like about the company is that even though there's multiple ways to earn income in that company, I was able to pick and choose a part that I wanted to get involved with. When I found out he had a matrix system, you know, I didn't want to have to explain the binary and there's several other ways that he pay. I mean, even though phenomenal now, I just didn't want to explain it. I wanted to approach people from a different standpoint. And when I found out that he had a matrix system called Smart System, I'm going to talk to you guys about that in just a second. But and it's also a global situation where the company is doing business in over 200 different countries. And so I would, even though the United States is huge, guys, I wouldn't limit it to just this continent, okay? Basically, he's anywhere you want to do business, probably not in the Amazon jungle and even there, but guys, he had it to where people can do business all over the globe, you know. And so, but anyway, guys, he's a full-blown company. And that's another thing I was looking at, guys, because if I was going to present this $15 business, legitimate business, of course, I want it to be legal. And, guys, he is every bit of legal. He has some top-shelf products that, in my opinion, most people need these products. And so, guys, I didn't want to explain it, though, but I will mention just a few to show the legality of the company. Some of those products are emergency roadside system. I got to tell you guys, when I first was introduced, I had been looking for a good roadside service because my wife needed it going up and down the highway for work. You know, guys, anything can happen, especially with tough times like this. The crime is up a little bit. And, guys, I just wanted my wife to be protected. And so they had that. They had a way where you can save on gasoline. They got a gas tablet that can save you as much as 30% fuel efficiency on your car, cause your car to run better. Company that is the maker of this gas tablet has been around for 24 years. I looked at all all those things. But anyway, guys, legitimate as we are with products, I really didn't want to approach from that standpoint. I was interested in the matrix system itself. And, guys, there are 10 matrices. If you're taking notes, and all of you should, guys, take some copious notes because you'll want to be able to put yourself in a position to explain this to others because it's very powerful, okay? I know somebody personally that's made $100,000 on this matrix system in the last 3 to 4 months, and the only thing they ever came out of their pocket with was a one-time $15, okay? You can actually take that $15 and grow it from earnings platform to platform, and it's a game changer, okay? So I'm going to explain the first one, guys. That is Smart Matrix, number one. That is our $10 Smart Matrix. I should say Smart Matrix number 10. Guys, that matrix, in order to get paid out of it, you have to fill the six positions that are in that matrix. Now, you can have help from, you can do it yourself, or it can be a combination in you and a few others that can fill that six position matrix. So I'm going to just use Dr. Benjamin. He got started with us. And if you were writing this down, guys, you can write your name like in the center, the top center of the page. Then he immediately started talking to others. And so, guys, off to on your first level, there's two positions. On your second level, there's four. Remember, I did say there were six total positions. And so, guys, he started talking to a couple of people right quick. They were all excited, jumped on board, pulled out $15, got their free website. Of course, they went to his website, and they were able to take 2 to 3 minutes and get signed up, and then they had their own free website. Now, that's another thing. I hate to stop in midstream, but, guys, I got to tell you, I look at the benefit of a company that's giving somebody a brand-new free website where you don't have to pay any monthly payments on. Guys, this is for the benefit of growing your business worldwide, okay? And so, but anyway, like I said, two positions on the first level, four positions on the second level, that will complete the matrix, and you will get the benefits of that matrix. Now, guys, every one of these matrices pay 300% profit on whatever you put to enter that matrix. So in this case, you spent $15. Of course, $5 of that $15 went to admin, okay, because they are providing us a way to earn additional income, guys. In this case, I'm talking about that free website. You only have to pay that $5 one time. So every time you go out of the matrix and re-enter, then, guys, it'll only be $10 from there. And so that's what happened to the other a few bucks. The $10 was to place you in that matrix. Okay, guys, and so let's say Dr. Benjamin placed in Mr. Evans. I know Mr. Evans was one of his people. And so he got placed in that matrix, and he brought in another person that got placed in the matrix. And, guys, those two positions on level one was completely instantly filled. And, of course, Mr. Evans went to work as well because he brought in two folks immediately, and then the other person brought in two folks. What I'm trying to relate to you guys is all six positions in that matrix were quickly filled. I think the same day they were filled. And that, guys, means that on level two, the four positions on level two is called your pay line. You don't get paid on level one, guys. It just completes or fills the matrix, but that is the person above you's pay line. So you understand how this works. So now it's your time, guys, on level one. You got $10, $20, $30, and the company kept the other 10 to re-enter you into the matrix. And, guys, just that quickly, you earned 30 bucks. Guys, I have met people that earn 30 bucks from the matrix at least 10 to 15 times per day. Guys, isn't that a beautiful position to put yourself in where people are going around going out of the matrix, coming back in the matrix, guys. They call it the follow me system. So let me give you an example. Dr. Binyamin instantly having Mr. Evans and another person. Guys, when they complete their sixth person or sixth position, I shouldn't say person because that can be a church. It can be any kind of it could be a fundraiser for any organization, maybe a little football team or whatever. But, guys, once those positions are filled, on their personal, they're going to re-enter just like you did. They're going to earn $30, and the other 10 is going to re-enter them into a brand-new matrix, but they come back into the matrix brand-new under the person that they originally came in. Guys, that's exciting. Let me tell you why it's exciting. Because if we join forces in numbers, eventually thousands, maybe millions of people, guys, because of that follow me system, that means that your matrix over and over and over again will always be filled with people, guys. Remember now that the money to re-enter now comes out of earnings, not out of your pocket. The only thing that you originally came in was $15, but, guys, that grew into thousands of dollars. And so now you got to re-enter and to move on to the other matrices if that is your desire. So that's how it works, guys, over and over the follow me system, even to the upper matrices. Those folks want to earn more or additional monies. Guys, they're going to use profit money to follow you into those matrices as well. Now, on SMART, our SMART 25 matrix, guys, it costs $35 one time, okay, and $10 of that goes to admin and $25 to enter you into that matrix. And, guys, remember now, because of the follow me system, those six positions are going to fill up automatically. And plus, you got the benefits of some new people. Maybe you're still talking. Folks are coming in. And so folks are going to be there always to fill it. Guys, 300% profit margin. That means that your $25 investment out of earnings will eventually turn into $75 over and over and over without stopping. Folks are coming in all over the world, and it's just going to push those matrices in a circle, guys. That is a beautiful thing. And let's move on to the next one. That's our SMART 50. 300%, guys, once you complete that six-position matrix, is $150, or basically three times the money, and that's over and over. Guys, could you imagine what your lifestyle would be if you just went through that particular matrix on a single or everyday basis? You got $150 here, you got $75 there, and $30. Guys, you're talking about over almost $300. If you did that daily, guys, what about if you did it multiple times per day? Let's go to the SMART 100. $300 every time you complete or recycle that matrix. That's the word I'm going to use from now on. I think that makes a little bit more sense. Don't you guys think so? To recycle, I guess it kind of explains the whole deal. And then it's our SMART 250, three times the money, guys. Guess what? $750 every time you recycle that matrix. And, guys, you don't have to move forward in those other matrices. You could just say, you know what, I think I'd just stay here in the 30. I'm satisfied. But, guys, most people would elect to go, even if it's the persons behind you. They can leapfrog you if you don't elect. That don't stop them from earning more income. Our SMART 500 matrix, $1,500 per recycle. Our SMART 1,000 matrix, $3,000. Over and over and over again. And then there's two more left, guys. It's a SMART 5000. Guys, you understand, three times the money. That's $15,000 over and over. And what I want you to think about, guys, is not the amount of people that you think will come in, guys, because they're going to come in and you won't be able to count the amount of people that would love to earn as much as 40 the first time and over $60,000 every time. Maybe that's you guys. Maybe that's once a month. Can you imagine that everybody came in and it cost them no more than a $15 bill out of pocket one time. And they was able to, because of other people wanting that opportunity as well, was able to grow that income into over $60,000 over and over. And guys, I don't know about you, but see, I think big, guys. What if that was once a week, there was enough people, millions, thousands and thousands of people now coming into that $15 program, and it just drove people and themselves up that matrix ladder. And I'm going to talk about the last one, guys. I get excited when I talk about this. I'm talking about the smart 10,000. And you might be sitting back right now saying, $10,000 with guys, it didn't come out of pocket. You grew that $15 into a 10,000, you had enough money to enter that matrix. And all I know, guys, is you're a happy camper when you're there because you never have to pay the admin fee, but you just kept re-entering that matrix over and over. Could you imagine $30,000 over and over? And, guys, I'm just talking about that matrix. That doesn't add up. When I add those other nine, when I add the $30, and the $75 and the $150 and the $300 and the $3,000 and the $15,000, guys, we're talking about getting paid simultaneously out of those as they recycle you over and over. Guys, I guarantee I won't have any problems in talking to you about this particular program. You'll want the whole world to know. And that's just part of their pay system, guys. You want to know to pay every single Friday. You can have the money put on a Visa card from PayQuicker, which is a well-established handler of commissions for huge companies. Or you can send it to your bank account. Whatever your wish is, guys, the company pays on time, and they do so. I'm telling you, guys, I'm so excited. I don't think anybody on this call and making the dream money that they always wanted, guys, would not go to their own website and get something to save on getting your teeth cleaned or having your teeth fixed. Or what about roadside assistance? What about savings? What about the travel portal that we have that now you can get travel deals and packages, car rentals? We even got a savings on tires and wheels. Guys, we got some of everything. Oh, my goodness. I get beside myself when I start thinking about wellness products that we have, guys. We got something to fit every fancy on this phone. But you know what? This is the easiest program in 46 years that I ever had to explain, but it is power-packed with excitement, and I'm ready to help each and every one of you to sign up. And, of course, I want you to get back with the person that invited you here. You're absolutely going on under them, guys. But be ahead of the curve. Be ahead of what's coming. Millions of people from around the world will be explaining this program to their friends, their family. And I always say, guys, put your family first. Sometimes that's a difficult thing. But you know what, guys? It keeps them from calling you trying to borrow a few dollars from you. Launch their own business for $15. And, guys, I haven't even gotten into the tax benefits of owning a legitimate home-based business. Now you can go tax that telephone. Actually, guys, the $15 allows you to tax every month that cell phone that working a W-2 wage earner's position or job. Guys, that's impossible to do. How about gas savings, guys? Being able to buy gas, no problem, because you got an additional amount of money coming in on the regular. So I have to thank these guys, Reverend Ron and Dr. Benjamin and Mr. Evans, for just staying in touch with me, guys. I'm more than happy to come back here anytime you wish to do this call. That's my obligation. And, guys, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about us, whether it be 1,000, 100,000 or a million people, guys, we have to have a joint effort. We have to come from one standpoint of all of us helping one another. That's the only way we're going to be able to rescue our finances and get where we need to go. So I just want to thank Dr. Benjamin. Thank you so much, sir. I'm here for questions if the need be, but I'm just going to turn it back over to you guys, and just thanks for the privilege of being to help my brothers and sisters. Thank you so much.
And thank you, my brother. I do appreciate you coming on board with us and sharing that information so people can get a clearer understanding of how the program works and how it can benefit them. So that's really great. And also, we do have on board our brother Ron. So I was wondering what he may have to say in regards to the $15 program at this time. And if you have any feedback you'd like to share with us, my brother, feel free to move forward now as well.
I've been in the program now probably several days, and I've been making money. I don't move up to two levels with the finances that I made, and that's how it matriculates. You put your 15, it double, triples, or whatever. You know, I'm going to give a hypothetical, $4 to $60. You put that to my level. And then you turn around with $100-something, then you matriculate and buy the next level, and that $115 is like it's growing. It's like a seed that you plant, flowers or fruit or whatever, and it grows. And that's what happened for me. So I'm like, it's just fantastic. It's really great. I'm so happy I got involved. Thanks to Norman and Denise. And you know, it's just been fantastic for me. It's, and I can see it particularly more than other programs that were saying. They were matriculating a certain amount of time in a certain way. This program, I actually see it moving forward. So I'm grateful for that. You know, that's what is happening right now with the program. It's definitely moving forward. There are some others online as well. We're going to want to open up some mics and get their ideas.
Okay. Great.
Okay, we have 571-264. 571-264. Your mic is open. 571-264. Your mic is open. You may have to unmute yourself and open your line up. Okay, we'll go to 914-330. Your mic is open.
Yeah, good evening.
Okay, hello. There it is, my brother. How's it going there,
yeah,
brother?
All right. Hanging in there.
Yeah, we just wanted
program
to see.
Program seems pretty interesting, but I still have some unanswered questions, so I don't have too many comments right at the moment. But I'm still in the process of doing some research, and me and Brother Benyamin supposed to have a talk later further. But I'm honored to be a part of this. I'm just still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good, too, because, you know, I've just seen some, you know, good response coming through as far as the money as well, and, you know, also how we can really start to, you know, make this thing really grow and to explode into very great success for everyone involved. Because as I said before, when we deal with this as a team, that's when we're looking at things from a whole nother perspective instead of just as an individual. And not saying that an individual can't make any money, because they can, but when you look at
it's not about an individual, it's about knowing the functionality of the website.
Well, that helps as well. But if you don't have any people, if you don't have any people to come in, then that's going to be kind of rough.
I can get the people, but I'm not bringing no people in that I can't explain nothing to them.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
the
whole thing.
It's got to make sense to me first. The website has to be functional. We'll talk later, man. I don't even want to go off like this on the air, but you already know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be able to get, you know, a clearer picture on this, so we're going to speak with my brother Norman.
Yes, a clear picture is necessary for me.
You know, after the show, and once we get that going, then we'll be able to really start to see things from another perspective with that as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Well, I'm glad that you did come on and that, you know, you had a chance to hear my brother talk about it. And like I said, we'll be speaking with him more in detail as well as time goes on. So we'll see what happens with that. All right.
Beautiful. Appreciate it.
Okay. And Brother Ron, do you see anybody else that's on the line right now?
Okay. Yeah. Unmute yourself if you have to.
Well, I can hear you now, but you sounded really like you were talking away from the phone. So can you say that number again?
404-279-404-279. Your mic is open.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Norman Norman, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Could you hear me?
On the third floor. Third floor. To who? I have a radio show up there. Well, that's with Brother Ron.
Okay, could you?
Brother Ron.
Okay, could you guys hear
that's
me?
That's where we are, the third floor. Third floor. Yeah, I don't have a nuclear bomb in here, brother. You know, you ain't got to worry about me blowing up yourself.
It's like, I'm opening the door, but nobody's supposed to do
that. Yeah, but that's the whole thing. It's supposed to be up on the third floor now. But my radio show is on. Like I said, wrong. Okay. Hello, Brother Ron?
Yes.
Brother Ron?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, because I got a brother here to open the door, but now he says he can't let me in. And I guess you would have to come down then and open the door, you know, so I could come up. Okay. Okay, what did you say there, Ron? Brother Ron, can you hear me? Hello? Hello, Brother Ron? Hello? Hello, Brother Ron, can you hear me?
You
want to go outside? Well, I can see that. I need to go up there, try to get on my radio show like I'm supposed to.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Make no sense.
Hello?
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 Brother Ron?
Yeah. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello? Hello?
You sound like you're very far away from the phone there, brother.
Can you just get on the elevator?
Can you come downstairs and open the door? That's what I was saying to you.
What happened? What happened?
Can you hear me? Yeah, and I apologize to people that are on the radio show right now. We, you know, just had a little technical problem here. Because I thought that we would be in here by now. Okay, thank you.
Hello?
Yeah. Well, I'm coming up now.
You don't get an elevator because the elevator is off. I got to press the button.
Well, I'm coming up now. You said the elevator's not working? Okay. 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 Are we on mute? Okay. Normally you hear the echo again. Mine's a little thing. Is the speaker on? Okay, so glad we had a chance to speak on some of these things that you know, are very important for our folks to know about and to realize that, you know, again, when us coming together in unity can really bring about some positive things for our community, not only just politically, but also economically, we can also do some things. And then the other side, which is the icing on the cake, which we didn't discuss, is another thing that is very powerful as well, and that is the spiritual side of things. Because when we come together spiritually in unity, that can also be the opportunity to be a blessing to our community as well. And like I said, I've seen this in the past, and I've experienced it as well. I know this is not something that maybe we can do or we might be able to do or anything like that. This is something that we can definitely do, but the only problem is that to know that we have the spiritual ability to definitely bring about powerful change in our community, and that's something that we need to see what we can do. Okay, and we do have another caller that just came on board, and that is 347-404. Your mic is open, and any feedback that you share with us thus far, feel free to do so.
Yeah, hi. Greetings. I just came on. What's the topic?
Well, we're talking about a few things, brother, but one of the main things is what we're talking about is coming together in unity to truly be a blessing to our community, not only politically, because, as you know, many of our rights have been stripped away at this point. In different states, you can't even go into and actually vote if you're black. It doesn't even make any sense, but that's situation of seeing that as a problem is only there because, you know, we have unfortunately sat on the sideline
and allowed these things to happen, and we haven't confronted it like we should have earlier. But now, if we come together in unity like we did in '60s, we could actually erase a lot of the negative things that they're trying to do to us politically. One thing that we need to focus on, coming together in unity to deal with, you know, political situations that are, that's where they're stripping our rights away to deal with things like that. It doesn't make any sense. So that's one thing. The other thing that we were looking at was economically, how in coming together in unity, how we could really be a great blessing to ourselves and our community. And that's the thing. Many times we're reaching out for money to different organizations, but in this particular society, many of those systems do not really want to give loans to Black people, because they know if the average Black person ended up getting money for, you know, their business and stuff, it would change their community overnight. But if they can't get money for to start a business going, then that would mean that financially that would keep our people down and out. And unfortunately, that's pretty much where a lot of our folks are, because we're actually leaning out to other folks for money. And when we're leaning out for other folks that really don't want to give us money, then basically it puts us in a rough situation. But that's one of the reasons why we need to come together in unity financially.
Gotcha.
Even though a lot of our people... Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. You know what? I'm all for it, man. And I love this program. I love what you guys are doing. I really do. And we need more programs like this. We need this program to get even bigger and bigger and bigger, to kind of connect, just like you're saying. Something like this helps out because it spreads the word. You know, not to say like virus, but yeah, like virus, you know. We need to connect. We need to 100%. It's like this. Like one thing that Tupac was looking at doing, right? A lot of people didn't know. Tupac Shakur, one of the things he was looking at doing was he was going to go to, and he was starting with like New York. That's why, like you were saying, Death Row East, right? He was going to go to every hood. And he was going to talk to the top dog, that's what they call it, right, of that hood. And then he would say, look, we got to have regulations. So your guns and your drugs, he was going to set curfew. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. And whatever happened to him, happened to him. But a brother like him, such activist, we need... more folks like him, believe it or not, Malcolm X, the rest of them, Martin Luther. That's what we need. And this is, I believe this program is pretty much what it is, if we could just spread this program to reach certain top dogs in certain neighborhood. But for most part, I have a plan, right? Mm. I have a plan. Talk is cheap. What I'm doing is exactly what you're talking about. I'm starting with Jamaica, Queens. I do real estate for most part, and that's what I'm starting with. You know the, in Queens, right, we have what's called a community fridge. Do you know about that?
No, I'm not sure about that one. But go ahead, maybe you can explain that.
All right.
That and you can get a clear picture.
Well, my point. I got you. Just to make a point, a reference in a sense, that's a start. If we could start something like that where we have more community fridges in the neighborhood for, like, the homeless, and they could come in and they could take the food out whenever they want and eat. You know what I mean? Something like that. That's what I was doing with my real estate crew a couple weeks ago. We call it Red Day. We were going out and we were making... sandwiches, and we're putting the sandwiches into these few fridges. I think it was like, we did like 5 or 6 different locations, right?
Mm.
So stuff like that. So what I'm doing is I'm gentrifying Jamaica, Queens. Now, when people say hear the word gentrification, the first thing they think is white coming into neighborhood. No. If you ever look up the definition, it's wealth coming into the neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So my plan is this. Black and brown banks, like you're talking about, I have a plan. But I'm starting with Jamaica, Queens. Right? I know how it is when it comes to, which is foul. There's certain zip codes that they don't give loans to. Are you guys aware of that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
If you apply for a loan, and because of that zip code, you don't get it. But if, let's say you were to come out of that zip code and use a zip code, let's say Forest Hills, then you'd get the loan. Ain't that something?
Hmm. Oh, yeah. It's not surprising, brother. Not surprising. That's how it's rigged.
Right. So, I mean, basically, I got a plan, but talk is cheap, and I'm doing it little by little with Jamaica Queens. That's where I'm starting out. I'm talking Southside Jamaica, St. Albans, you know, Laurelton, Cambria, the whole thing, Rosedale, you name it. And this year, you guys are going to see some kind of change.
Right. That sounds good. Now, let me ask you this, bro, because, I was seeing that you are doing some of these things. I would definitely like to get back in touch with you on this and see if we could, discuss some things in regards to working together on certain things. But let
Absolutely.
Me get your number so that I could get back in touch with you on this, and we could discuss this more in detail and see what we could do.
Absolutely. 100%. You have it there, right?
Yeah, I have my pen and paper. I just need your number again.
Oh, it's 347?
304? Mm-hmm. 404. Mm-hmm.
1412.
1412. And your full name?
Right. It's Heru Anthony Myers.
Okay.
H-E-R-U. Anthony Myers, M-Y-E-R-S. So folks call me Tony, you know, for short, because it's easier.
Okay, Anthony, we'll definitely be talking soon and see what we can do, because the bottom line, as I said earlier, when we come together in unity to work with each other, that's when we're empowering ourselves to actually be successful in many of the things that we want to do. But as the individual, not to say that an individual can't do it. They can do it, but the bottom line is it's, very much limited to what, 1,000 people or 100 people or 500 people can do compared to one person and what they can do. So that's the reason why in coming together in unity, it empowers us, strongly in our community, and that's what we need to do, really come together on. Because we'll be able to get some great and wonderful results on the things that we want to see done in our community. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I'm glad that you came on board with us and, spoke about some of the things you did. That's it. I definitely
I'm sorry. One of the things I was doing before the pandemic was I was coaching basketball. As a volunteer, I was coaching basketball. The time to do it now, maybe it's not there, but that's one thing. I want to organize, more of the basketball leagues and football leagues for the youth. So that would occupy their time instead of walking around with guns, they'll walk around with football and basketball more.
Right. And, one of the things that, I did as well, because I was in the school system as well, and basically, one of the main things that we did in the school, we did a Stop the Violence youth conferences that we had. So we were able to go into the schools and bring, because we had 150 speakers. So we went into the different schools and talked to the kids on why they should not be in the gang and why they should come out and why they should do positive things with their life instead of all these negative things that's either going to end up putting them in jail or into an early grave why would you want to end up in either one of those positions? You know, and we were trying to show that they should focus on a positive perspective. When they do that, that's when they can start to see positive results coming through in their life, you know? And that's very important.
I agree 100%. To add to that, because I think what really weighs on the kids is their role models, right? Now, you would have, like, I know, like, certain areas where no name calling or nothing, right? In my area of Jamaica, Queens, right? And it's just like back in the day with the Nicky Bonds and these top shotters from back in the day, right? They would coach these kids, these juvies, to do their dirty work. And then when the juvies get caught, it's a slap on the wrist. That's what's happening. That's their role model. That's who they listen to. That's who they look up to. So, again, just like I was saying about what Tupac Shakur was looking at doing, if we could somehow talk to some of these so-called wannabe top shatters, top dogs of the neighborhood, that's having the kids sell drugs and do certain things, right? If we could somehow turn them around to have them start talking to the kids, so the kids listen to them positively, then maybe we have a crack at it. You know what I'm saying? But we got to come up with a plan for that.
Right, and that's the thing.
They listen to the rappers. Kids listen to the rappers. They listen to their role models. They listen to their this. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, and right now, unfortunately, with the rappers, you know, a lot of them are doing this nigger hate music that's telling us that we should kill each other, that we shouldn't work with each other, that we shouldn't trust each other, that we should hate each other and all this kind of stuff, that our women are bitches and hoes that we should take advantage of, not try to help or anything like that. And I'm like, what? Why would we want to, you know, belittle ourselves by listening to music like that that's brainwashing our youth and adults into hating each other and wanting to kill each other and all of that? We don't need that in our community.
Tears.
So then speaking with different churches, Hebrew Israelite temples and mosques and, you know, even, you know, the Rastafarians, I had opportunities to speak to different leaders of different churches and different mosques and all of that. And in speaking with them about getting rid of the nigger hate music, one of the great things that they all said was, you're right, we need to get rid of that crap because that's really having a huge impact on destroying our community. And it's true, it really is. But the bottom line is, just like with the stripping away of our voting rights and other things, you know, we've been sitting on the sidelines for so long just watching what's being done to us. We need to take action now and do things that will actually erase a lot of the negative things that are in our community that we do not need to have anymore, you know. And another thing that's really important, I spoke on that earlier, you know, in the program, is the word nigger. That is something that I ran into with some students when I was in the school system. I was in the system for 13 years. But the thing about it, when I was telling one of the youth that, you know, we shouldn't be calling each other niggers, and this is something that we should definitely not even have in our vocabulary, he said, what? Are you serious? He said, that's a nickname that we made up for each other, and, you know, it's something
positive. It's a slang, right.
Why do we call each other niggers? I don't understand what you're saying there. I said, what? I said, you think that this is a nickname that we made up? I said, that's really a shame because you don't know your history and you don't even know where the word nigger really came from. The word nigger was a racist word that was an insult to our people. And the definition of what nigger meant was that you're a worthless piece of crap. So why would you want to call your people or yourself, or that's my nigger over there, or, yeah, I'm a nigger and I feel this way? You know what I mean? Why would you even want to call yourself a nigger? You know, when you are basically saying that you're a worthless piece of crap. And the thing about it, and some people don't even know this, but the subconscious mind knows that that's what that definition means. And when you
keep
that you're a nigger, what the subconscious mind does is draws that
negativity to a person who feels that they're just a worthless piece of crap. So you don't want to put that out there, you know, to really say things like that about yourself or your people. You need to eliminate that from the verbiage of what you keep calling yourself or what you call your people, because that is not a nickname that we gave ourselves. That is a racist word that was used against us to make us feel like we're worthless pieces of crap. And unfortunately, our people are, some of them are feeling that this is a good name that we can call ourselves because we made it up. That's a nickname that we made up. But it turns out it's really not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you should take this into consideration, brother, and a lot of things that we need to start to work on, because we shouldn't have our right to vote stripped away from us. We shouldn't also have our right to, you know, see a judge, you know, the first month or 3 or 4 weeks after we've been, you know, accused of committing a crime. You know, nowadays in certain states they have it where you have to wait 4 years before you actually even see a judge. And it's like, what? 4 years in jail before you see the judge? Why is that going on? And they are calling that 20th century slavery, because while you're in that prison, you're not getting paid a nickel or a dime. And the thing about it is, that's what slavery is all about. When they can get you to work for free, and they can make hundreds of millions and billions of dollars off of you. And we do not need that. And that's a part of the problem that we're facing today. We need to get rid of that 20-50 slavery that's been placed upon us as well. So we have a number of problems we're facing. The nigga hate music, the, you know, whole situation with the 20th century slavery. We have economically being forced into poverty, which we don't need to have that either. These are things that we need to erase from our community. Also, the fact that we've been, you know, stripped away in many states that we can't even vote. We can't vote for this thing, which is ridiculous as well. And there's dozens of other problems that are facing our community, but because we've been sitting on our youth and comfortable on the sideline and just going into our living room or our dining room and complaining about, you know, the problem. It's not changing. Talk is cheap. That words take care of one thing, but action is what really takes care of things. You know, when you can really back up what you want to see done by action, that's when you can really make things happen. And that's what our people really need to do. And one of the other things was that I wanted to mention to you was, when we got together with 150 people that we came together in unity with, and we went into the different schools, and we were able to get about 60 to 70% of the kids to come out of the game. But there was still about 30 to 40% that said, no way, we don't even want to hear nothing you got to say. All we want to do is to make huge amounts of money by causing these smaller gangs that we defeated to sell drugs for us and stuff, and we're going to make a ton of money by doing that. So we're not coming out of these gangs, no. And if we got to kill 10 or 20 kids or even 30 kids, I don't care a damn. The bottom line is we're going to make a lot of money. That's the thing. And I was like, wow, these guys, you know, no matter what we were telling them, it just went in one ear and came out the other. But one of the things that was very powerful, brother, and that blew my mind, was that Jesus came to us and said, hey, if you guys will take one of those very powerful forces of the universe, which is God's divine love and my divine love, and envision putting that into the minds and hearts of these gangbangers that want to kill and destroy each other's lives, he said, what I will do is cleanse all of that hatred and that desire to kill one another out of their minds and out of their hearts. And when he said that,
I was like, wow, I almost fell out my chair when I heard that, man. I was like, whoa. You know, but the bottom line is that this was something that was spoken about that I felt if this could really work, this would be great, because these other guys, which are the 30 to 40% that don't want to leave the gang, how the heck are you going to get them out? You know, you got to put a gun to their head and tell them to come out of the gang, you know? He said, you know, this is what he's talking about. We ain't got to put no gun to their head and tell them to get out of the gang. All we got to do is envision one of the most powerful forces in the universe, which is God's divine love and Christ's divine love, and see that cleansing their minds and hearts of all of that self-hatred and desire to kill and destroy each other. And brother, we had several different meditation programs in different schools. And the good thing about that, I went to each of the meditation programs like Jesus asked me to, and we started to visualize seeing the divine love of God in Christ going into the minds and hearts of these knucklehead gangbangers that wanted to kill and destroy each other. And within 2 weeks of doing that, what ended up happening, the gang war was over. And I was very, very glad to see that that happened and that that could work. And that's one of the big problems that we have. We don't even recognize our ability to utilize our spiritual power as a people. And we don't even recognize that we even have spiritual power, because we've been brainwashed for over 400 years telling us that we're worthless pieces of crap. And being that we're worthless pieces of crap, how the heck are you going to have spiritual power? You can't have spiritual power. And that's the thing. We need to reawaken our people to the fact that we do have spiritual power. And just as Jesus was sharing that opportunity with us of that spiritual formula of what we could do, we need to use these spiritual formulas of meditation, of prayer, of fasting, and see what we can do to bring about some very positive and wonderful change as well. But the big problem with that, brother, is that we've been brainwashed for so long that, unfortunately, many of us don't even want to hear that this is an option.
I got a quick question.
Go ahead.
Pardon me. So if Jesus could do it, we could do it?
Well, he was telling us that he would be there with us to do it. Yeah, he said he would be there to help to cleanse all of that out of them. And that was the thing. We do have the ability to do these things. And the things that he said in the book that was very powerful that blew my mind, Jesus said the things I do, you can do, and even more. And even Jesus' father said something that was
amen, my brother. Amen.
That was really deep. What Jesus, what Lord Jehovah said. Lord Jehovah said, you are in Genesis, in the Bible, he said, you are made in the likeness and also in the image of God. So how can you be made in the likeness and image of God, but you're a worthless piece of crap? That's a lie. You are a God being, but you've been told that you are a worthless piece of crap by this system. And you don't need to listen to the lies of Satan. What you need to listen to is Lord Jehovah, Jesus, Allah, and other gods that are here to help us to raise our consciousness up on high so we don't even have to deal with this negativity. Because the bottom line is that once we reawaken ourselves to our true identity of what we are and that we do have the God-given power to bring about positive change, to change our lives and to change the lives of others. Because those gangbangers, they didn't volunteer to give up. They had made up their mind that, hey, even if I get killed, I don't care. Bottom line is I still can say that I'm in the biggest and baddest gang in Mount Vernon. I'm in the biggest and baddest gang in Brooklyn. I'm in the biggest and baddest gang in Queens or in the Bronx or in Yonkers, wherever. Bottom line is, you know, for me to be able to say that, if I got to risk my life, so what, you know? And that's where their minds were at. They didn't care if they had to be killed or shot or if they had to kill the lives of others. The bottom line was they just wanted to make tons of money off of selling drugs and forced these other gangs that they defeated to sell drugs for them. And all I can say to you is that these are things that we not, at least I'll be honest with you, I did not even know that we had the ability to do that. But once Jesus shared that with us, I was like, whoa, this stuff, not only was he saying that, but we got good results from it. And that's the thing. We can get good results, but the bottom line is, unfortunately, most of us do not believe that we have any God-given power within us. And we really do. And that's the thing. Lord Jehovah said it. Also, Jesus said it. And it's been said elsewhere as well that we are God beings. But the problem is that, you know, we've been told just the opposite by Satan. And unfortunately, because we've been brainwashed over the 400 years that we've been here, that we've been listening to the brainwashing lies that have been told to us.
Condition.
Reawaken ourselves. Yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was agreeing with you. I'm saying we're conditioned.
Exactly. And that's what it is. You know, so we really need to reprogram our minds to see things from the truth instead of the lie. And once we start to reprogram our minds to see the truth of who we are and what we are capable of doing, we're going to be able to get some good results too. So, again, actions need to be taken to help to remove, you know, a lot of the negative things in our community, you know, not only physically, but also, you know, spiritually as well. Now, to get rid of political stuff and negative things that are going on in our community is very important to remove those things, to also deal with things from, you know, the spiritual side as well as something that needs to be done as well. But the thing about it is both of those actions need to be taken, the physical and the spiritual. And when we unify ourselves into doing both of those, that's when we're going to get awesome and great results and being able to bring positive change back into our community. So we don't need to be listening to the nigga hate music. We don't need 20th century slavery. We don't need to have our voting rights taken away from us. You know, there's a number of different problems that are on the table that we're facing, but to sit on the sideline and just complain about it is not going to change anything. We need to take action. We need to come together in unity. And by doing that, we're going to bring positive change into our community. So, brother, I'm really glad to see that you are someone that's thinking about actually taking some action there. And we can even discuss also how we can utilize taking some spiritual action as well. But the bottom line is that once we start to put these things into motion, that's when we're going to start to see some really great and wonderful results come about for our people and for ourselves. So definitely we're on our way to a brighter day, brother, but we just have to really start to stay focused on these things in order for us to really make it happen. We can't say it today and then come back to it maybe 3 or 4 months later. We need to focus on it every day and see what we can do to bring about some positive change coming about. And we're going to see some good results. But like I said earlier, one of the things that, you know, is important is the actual coming together and dealing with us as a people from a spiritual perspective. So what we're going to get ready to do right now is a prayer and a meditation. And that prayer and meditation is going to be focused on us bringing about positive change into our community. Because, yes, we do need to definitely come together physically and see what we can do to bring about positive change. But the icing on the cake, which is something that is very important as well, is us coming together spiritually. Regardless whether we're Muslims, Hebrews, Christians, Rastafarians, even, you know, we're talking about dealing with Native Americans and their gods, and, you know, also as well, we're talking about Hindu and, you know, and other religions as well. It doesn't make a difference. But we need to come together in unity and in harmony, not together to come together in unity to beat at each other's throats, but to come together in unity so that we can work harmoniously together to help one another. And when we come together on that note, then we can really bring about some positive change. But the devil wants to keep us, what's the old saying? Divide and conquer. He wants us to have a brick wall put up between us, you know, whether it's religious, whether it's family problems and issues, whether it's political, whether it's, you know, other serious problems with the bottom ten.
You good, brother?
Not me.
I got you. You ready though?
Yeah, so we're going to see what we can do. We can get ready to share in the meditation. If you want to join us at this point, you can do that. You know, we're going to get ready to share.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My apologies.
So anyway, let me do the prayer here to see where we can get going with that. And after we do the prayer, then we're going to do the meditation and see what we can do on that as well.
Let us all, mindset and heart, spirits, come together in prayer. Father, we divinely touch thee right now and ask your presence among us as we reach out to you in this spiritual meditation and prayer period, where we seek thee, O Father, that you will guide us and that you will take us into another dimension, O Father, that our spirits will override our physical and our mental, and that we will be one with thee. And we ask all these things in thy name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, and amen, my brother. Thank you for the powerful prayer. And let us now get ready to start off with three deep breaths, and then we're going to go right into the meditation. So right now, our first breath, breathing deep, all peace, calm and total relaxation. Breathe out all stress, anxiety, and tension. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Next breath, breathe in deep. The spiritual awareness that we have God-given power within us. And breathe out all the lies that have been told to us, where we have no ability to do anything spiritual, and we are very limited people. These are lives that we are breathing out and letting go all that negativity, not holding on to it any longer. Our last breath, breathe in deep. Our true identity of being sons and daughters of God that have the ability to do great, awesome, and amazing things. But first we have to reawaken ourselves to know that we have the ability to do these great, awesome, and amazing things. And as we breathe out, we let us breathe out now all the fear and doubt that we've been told that these are dreams and goals that we can never achieve. But guess what? You can achieve it, but you have to believe it. And as you see it for you coming about, then you can actually start to bring about a new reality in our community. So again, for us doing our first three deep breaths, and inhaling our true aspect of who we are and what we can do. What we want to do now is keep our mind up on high so we can start to focus on seeing our goals and dreams truly start to fly. And in saying that, what I would like us to do right now is to envision, as Jesus said, the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ going into the minds and hearts of all of our people, cleansing away all self-hatred, anger, the desire to kill, the desire to hate one another, the desire to never help each other, all of that negativity. See the divine love of God erasing all that negativity and replacing all that negativity with the divine love of God in Christ. And by that happening, let that divine love truly, truly start to be a part of our new reality. Become positive, become the dominant energy within us. And instead of us seeing ourselves in the mindset of negativity and self-hatred and even the desire to not only just kill others, but even to kill ourselves, to suicide. These are things that we no longer need to experience in our lives. So what we need to do is see all of our people, whether it's here in this country, in Africa, whether it's in the Caribbean islands, whether it's in South America and Brazil, see all of our people shining brightly from the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ, erasing all the negativity that has held us back for many years. No longer being at each other's throat, but being at to help one another. Being at the point where we see our goals and dreams becoming a new reality, being able to be accomplished, being able to erase all the negativity out of our lives, taking poverty and totally erasing it from our situation that we see and replacing it with great abundance, prosperity, and wealth, and helping us to live a nice and healthy life filled with joy and happiness, no longer having to live in pain and agony and sorrow, but living in joy, happiness, and great success. And that is something we can do. You can definitely go.
What's up, big brother? What's up, champ?
You have to leave.
Oh, good, man. I see you. I feel good.
Okay, so now the last and final part of the visualization meditation is this great affirmation. See it, believe it, and we will receive it. See it, believe it, and we will receive it. See it, believe it, and we will receive it. See it, believe it, and we will receive it. Also, the other piece, see it already done. Our goals and dreams have truly victoriously been won. I see it already done, that our goals and dreams have victoriously been won. I see it already done, that our goals and dreams have victoriously been won. for removing the murdering of our youth, removing poverty and the murdering even of our adults, removing the negativity of nigger hate movement, which brainwashed us to hate each other, to want to kill each other, to want to never even help each other. All of that negativity, let it be totally erased, and our goals and dreams will replace that negativity. And the divine love of God in Christ will enter into the minds and hearts of all our people, no longer to be stuck in the negativity of the past, but now to be set free by the power of God's grace, love, and mercy. At last, finally being set free to live a wonderful and great new reality. So now we are getting ready to actually listen to some great and wonderful music that will be playing. So all I can say right now is I'm very thankful to see that we are getting ready to start a brand new reality with our people. But what we have to do is reawaken ourselves to our true identity of who we are and what we can do and what we can be, because we are definitely not worthless pieces of crap, but we are sons and daughters of God that have been blessed with God-given power. And all we have to do is use it in a positive fashion, in a positive way, to definitely help our people each and every day. So one of the things that is very important for us to do is to elevate our consciousness to wanting to be a great blessing to our people and to see a new reality, and make sure that we keep our minds up on high so that our goals and dreams will truly fly. And with that being said, our music is about to be played, and now you'll be able to hear some positive music for us. Yes, indeed. Did you need it? The music. On its way, and we're getting ready to say,
when you've done all you can, man, seems like it's never enough. And
Yes, indeed. I'm glad we had an opportunity to listen to some positive music, the prayer and meditation, Brother Norman and Ron and many others that have been on the line with us today, giving us positive feedback on the things that we're in process of doing. But anyway, I'm just very glad to see that we are on our way to a brand new reality. Peace and blessings to each and every one of you. God bless.
How we going there today, brother?
Come on, man. Busy.
I hear that.
Working hard.
That's the name of the game, brother.
Yeah, trying to get these paperwork not mixed up here.
Oh, okay.
These are medical records.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's upon those office next door for our stuff.
Yeah, I just came back from Harlem giving out lives to people.
Oh, yeah.
I know petitions to get rid of the nigga hate news because we're doing what you call a class action lawsuit, right?
Oh, really?
Against the big racist white music companies that are hiring our young black, you know, rappers to do all this negative, you know.
That's all they do?
That's what they do, bro. And they make millions of dollars in doing it, you know. Anything about it, not only does it have negative results where our kids are getting killed every year, but the other side of it is they make money at the same time.
They make us all the money.
Oh, yeah.
And it's strong the race.
There you go. We got to do what we can to end that process. So, yeah, we got quite a few people signing the petition. So that's good. You know? So, if you ever feel up to it, brother, you know, all you got to do is lift up the pedal.
So what song, for example, can you tell me that it's
offensive? Wow, that's really interesting. Because even today, I was in, we call it Marcus Garvey Park, and I was listening to, you know, some of that same nigga hate music. And he was talking about, you know, how you can't trust niggas and, you know.
Really?
And stuff and all that crazy stuff about that. And then,
really?
There was another music
song, like that?
There was music like that. There was another one that was saying that, you know, our women should suck our dicks, you know, that kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. That was saying, what? A lot of times, you know, you have music like that, so disrespectful towards our women. But the funny thing about it, there was a group of youth that were listening to this stuff, and while it was being played, they were giggling and laughing. I was like, what? You know? And the sisters were laughing as well as the brothers.
Wow.
That was crazy stuff. But the thing about it is that being brainwashed and the thinking stuff is a good thing, you know?
Yeah, what?
And we got to reprogram their thinking so that they're not stuck in all of that, you know? That's crazy, you know? So we're going to, you know, have such disrespectful things in music that are telling you to totally disrespect the women and not to have any kind of respect for them or just to treat them, you know, in a very negative way, some of them suck your penis every 5 minutes, some kind of crazy stuff. Like this,
I got that rested here, inside here, from listening to the TV while the medical office was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a black guy, a black girl on the TV,
mm-hmm.
and all those said, motherfucking nigga this, motherfucking nigga that.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't stop. It was just motherfucking nigga this,
mm-hmm.
nigga that. Motherfucking
mm-hmm.
nigga this. So it was so loud and graphic to the point where it was offensive now. It was becoming offensive. It was just too much of it. It was,
exactly.
It's not like they say one word and move on.
Mm-hmm.
It was just constant.
Right.
So when I came inside from the doctor's office, I walked up to the lobby. The girl wasn't doing work. Her head was down on the desk like this.
Mm.
And she was just hanging out.
Mm.
She wasn't doing any work.
Mm.
Like she was just spinning her hand.
Mm-hmm.
Just hanging out. She wasn't working. She wasn't doing nothing. She wasn't even writing. She was just like dozing off or whatever.
Right.
And I came out to her.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came out, I asked her to turn on the TV, I turned it off on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that she was down her head and she wasn't paying. The TV was over there,
mm-hmm.
and her head was this way, and she was just doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, she's not paying no attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
I put the TV in pause.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to the doctor group. Because we were mm-hmm. doing something, and it was distracting me.
Mm-hmm.
The motherfucking that. Maybe it's that. So I was walking back to the office at the time when she realized
mm-hmm.
that I had turned and I put the TV in pause.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked back and she said, I'm watching it, I'm watching it. And I said, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said, it's too much, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I left and I walked back inside the office. I left the TV
mm-hmm.
in pause.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back out a few minutes later
mm-hmm.
and I was walking through the front room because somebody wanted to, the people I'm opening came up in the fifth floor and they wanted me to come up here.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, everything, pleasant and nice.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you're leaving? I said, I'm just going to fill in the right band.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very mutual respect for each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that she humble.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said humbly,
mm-hmm.
Are you leaving? I said, no, I'm just going to go right back.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you want to talk to me? She said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned back and I said, look, what's going on? And he's going to snap at me, like, I need to get the motherfucker out of my mouth. I need to get my motherfucker out of here. Something like this, he said. And pay me to get the fuck out of here. Just talk to me back. Just go through this. She had a nice motherfucking attitude. And she carried on and saying all these things to me. And I was shocked. And she get up out of the chair. And keep my fucking money. I don't like you. I don't want to work for you. And she just flipped out of me.
Wow.
And she's screaming and carrying on. And she got so slow to the point where I'm panicking on because I'm thinking all the seventh floor could hear what's going on. She was screaming, my motherfucking money, look at this, and she just carried on. And I'm there in a shade of shock. To the point where the security guard came up here.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in one of those doors. And he sounded like he's shaking.
Mm.
And I'm saying to her, doctor, pay her so she can get out of here. She said, no, I don't want the money from the doctor, I want the money from you.
Mm.
I'm going to call the police, I'm going to take you to court, and I'm saying, doctor, pay her so she can go. No, the doctor's not paying me, you pay me. You don't want to recommend me here. So while I was sitting down, while I was standing there, and she's carrying on, she just make a big rush.
Mm-hmm.
And the rush she make over was to grab this bunch of keto.
Mm-hmm.
And she just launched from over there and run straight to like she was attacking me. And she just run, come straight toward me. Bam! And she grabbed my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And running back through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I rushed and I was able to just lucky to stop her at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I grabbed onto my teeth from her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she just rage up and dragging the key out of my hand. And she dragged the key so hard that when she do like this, boom, with the key, she lost her balance and she dropped on her ass.
Mm-hmm.
And when she get up, she left handed. When she got up, she pulled out a knife coming at me. And the security guard, which is a very nervous guy,
mm-hmm.
happened to stand and said, no, you can't do this. And she's trying to get around the security guard. And I'm like, let her go. Let her go. Nobody will let you come. And then the security guard stopped her. And then I said, I'm calling the police on you. Just for a night.
Mm.
And I want her to get nervous. She started to panic.
Mm.
I should try to run through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I locked the door.
Mm.
And the good thing about that door was locked.
Oh, so the security guard put the knife?
No.
Mm.
It, what happened with that door,
mm-hmm.
I think the door handle wasn't working
mm.
properly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it came off,
mm.
but she couldn't get out.
Oh, okay.
So then she would go around here now, and I blocked this door.
Mm.
And she's nervous because she wanna run out to go once she can't go because I blocked her right here. So she brought on to my clothes and I'm making sure I don't hit her. I'm making sure I don't put on clothes on her. And she's just dragging me out the red, dragging me out the air. I'm not moving. And she's just ripping my clothes and she's not moving. And I want my clothes to rip because I want to show the police because we're trying to call the police at one point. And I want to make sure that this girl got a good face me. I want to, she brought back around and called the phone. She said, he locked me. He locked me. I can't leave. He locked me. Then she went all the way around to the back. She got the right door around the back.
Mm-hmm.
And she went around the back, and I know she's dressed in. Why did she run around the back? Maybe she's trying to hide the knife.
Mm-hmm.
Then she went come back around the front, and she's always been so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
By then, about 4 points came.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find a knife on her.
No,
I mean, she didn't know where to hide it. But she had to that she pulled a knife at me,
mm.
and they locked her up. Mm. But I wanted to get arrested because of her attitude.
Mm.
It was unnecessary, and she threatened me here, and the attitude she had was so bad, and she was screaming. And she was like, I don't give a mother talk. You know, and she was just unbelievable.
Mm.
It was very mistakeful.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like the sister I know, and the sister wanted to introduce me to her and tell me she's capable. And she seemed like she has some knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And the sister called me and she said, you know why she's going through that changes. She said, the sister, she almost had a fight with a man last night. Some men are having some altercation, and that's why she's in that mood she's in. So the sister kind of justified why she has that attitude. And then when they took her away, after they took her away, the sister came over. And then she started demanding the money from him. And she came with a guy who was supposed to be her baby father, the girl baby father. Mm-hmm. And so the doctor didn't have the money to pay her. Why pay it? I pay her.
Mm-hmm.
And the sister got treated and returned on the full system. You know, and she was justifying why the sister is acting that way.
Mm-hmm.
And she was humble, and she come over and she goes, I'll fix her.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, after a lawyer called and asked me what do I want to do. And I said, I didn't really want to get arrested. But her attitude was so bad, I need she to get disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told him I was sure. And then I said, drag it out.
Mm-hmm.
Until the other day, about a month ago, 2 weeks ago, the district attorney called me and said they give her some kind of unconditional discharge and she won't bother me for 6 months or something like that.
You can get order protection.
Yeah. Mark Vernon don't do nothing, though.
No order protection, they won't do it?
Yeah, they give her order protection for 6 months or something like that. But Mark Vernon don't do anything. Mark Vernon... A guy went into a guy caught with three beer.
Mm.
And total two guys caught with three. The guy drove the car and the car shut off. The guy jumped from the car and run. And one girl wouldn't justify that investigator nothing. The guy took a loss.
Mm.
And I know it was the guy because the mother came and explained to me what happened.
Mm.
And they did, I think they reported the car stolen later until the police came and took it up.
Mm.
And she had insurance, she said.
Mm.
Mm.
And when they go to Mark Vernon and complain about them, they don't honor that.
Mm.
They don't do it.
Yeah. I know they don't like to deal with mentally ill people in Mark Vernon. The mentally ill, they don't like to deal with that. I don't know if they don't have
to. Really happened that you didn't have to do that. So what she said and did with you, that was really scary.
Yeah. When she was it was unnecessary. Mm. And I like her too. I thought she was quiet and decent. Mm. And this is showing that side. I know this really the people here in this country, no parlance. They brought chances to be switching you. If they know something about you, they want to bring it down. They want to take it down. They want to destroy you. The tolerance, they don't have the tolerance. They want to argue. They want to threaten you. They have no respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just sad, man. I got so much of these extras to be able to do. I gave away 55,000 to the minority community in Long Island. And they turned around and signed statements against me. Predominantly Black American community. There was an eviction for the economy of Long Island. They had no population. And I'm like, these are my people. They're supporting me. I'm showing my appreciation. Giving $55,000 on me. And my accountant was mad at me about it. My girlfriend was upset me about it, telling me I'm running, I'm using my heart to run the game. That's all I do. I use my heart. I always say, if you give me something, I have to look what you have to pay back. I got to give back, so I got to show my appreciation. And everybody says, it's not business. You got to stop using your heart. They're all right, but I just feel like, you know, I'm making money. Why not look out to my people? The same year, they stopped me, $145,000. Spent all the insurance checks. Leave the co-signer, which is their grandmother, their girlfriend, their boyfriend, they're going to ruin their credit.
Mm-hmm.
The same people, in turn, when the government started investigating me, because they want to know how come I received so many calls of insurance claims that did not pay. The district attorney goes to these people and ask them, we don't care what happened. We want to put this guy away. We want to bring up as much charge as possible. I'm going to send them upstate. I will give that card to you free of charge, no question asked. And you know, one Black guy came to me. I said, brother, I can't do this to you, man. I'll never forget this guy. He had a beautiful red 87. This was in the 90s. He had a 2007. Nissan Pathfinder. And he said, man, he got 11,000 in change to pay for his car. And he spent the check. He said, brother, it was my choice. I didn't want the car. So I didn't cash. And he spent the check. He said, but the police department came to him and signed a false statement against you to get back the car. I didn't do that. All the other people signed a false statement against you. The district attorney, right away, really wanted to write to. Just sign this. We're going to bring up a lot of charges. We're going to cop up plea because you're not going to trust the all right jurors. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send them up there. Black people I signed it.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
I won the case. They brought me up on 113 counts of felony.
Mm-hmm.
They brought me up on 215 counts of felony.
Mm-hmm.
And I went off over all the cases.
Mm-hmm. You never even went to jail?
Yes, I did. And then there was one.
Oh, so you were pregnant while you were in jail?
No. I won those cases.
Mm-hmm.
And the last cases they brought me upon, they said that they spent $272,000 to put me away. And they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one predominantly Black American girl. She was the only Black girl on the jury. And I said, thank God, I got a sister in the jury. She's going to save her Black brother.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the one going to put me there. The white folks meet me in the parking lot and wait for me to come out and meet me in the parking lot, the jurors. And they say, you're a nice fella. I see what the people are trying to do to you. Which story takes so long, but the Black girl didn't want to free you. She hung up the jury.
Wow.
That's a bad experience.
So, you normally, you went there because waiting for the...
I went to jail.
You waiting for the prediction?
No. I won the case.
Why went to jail for?
I went to jail after that. When I was leaving the courtroom after I had the verdict,
mm-hmm.
I was leaving the courtroom, and my lawyer was walking like this, and my lawyer was right behind me talking to another lawyer. Slow motion coming in. They're talking. I'm just trying, waiting for my lawyer to finish talking, catch up to me. Mm-hmm. And that district attorney, the head of the operation, probably the one is parted like this, into a tweed sky blue suit, two-piece jacket suit. And he said to me, I just want to let you know we don't need to move. I turned up to my master. I said, Steve, you know what he just said to me? He said, we don't believe in losing.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said that they watched my business for 2 years. They want to see if I'm working for the damage on these cars.
Mm-hmm.
These people won't come off of my back.
Mm-hmm.
These people won't come off of my back. So I said, you know something? I want to prove to these people that I'm not breaking the law. I'm not doing nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
They sent this black American guy, a little bigger than me, a very dark, dark-skinned guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to me, one is, yo, man, I got into an accident, man, I want to fix my car, but I want to walk. I'm like, this guy's strange. This guy here to set me up. But I'm the kind of guy who walk, then I never leave my tape recorder. Cut my tape recorder, and I call recording.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives me the car to fix. So I take pictures and I don't know if I take pictures. I think I did. But I'm recording the whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me to report the car. The following day after I take the car, I said, I don't remember seeing that damage on that car. I said, I'm not taking notes. Yeah, because this is the kind of statement. But I know he's a cop.
Mm-hmm.
But my plan to get them off my back is to take the job. I want the insurance adjuster to come to look at the car.
Mm-hmm.
The same damage they give me is the same damage they're going to see because I'm not going to inflate the damage because of what they think I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the job. But I wasn't curious about that damage on the car. You know, they go to the precinct.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the precinct and I said, officer, I took a job in from a customer last night. But I don't get some damage on the car that I'm not sure about. That's what I reported. And then about 2 seconds got up to the desk, walk up to the one I was talking to, and it was all in with this thing. I went and said, sir, it's your car? I said, no, it's a customer car. They said, well, sir, you cannot report the damage if you're not the owner of the car, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I left. I called the customer on the call.
Mm-hmm.
I said, by the way, and I'm recording him. I said, the job that you gave to me, what did you tell the insurance company? He said, I told the insurance company, we have damage here, we have damage here, we have damage here, we have damage here. I said, okay, and I'm recording it. So I said, well, they cover all the areas. So I'm covered. So I took the job. So that time he called me and I'm questioning about the car. He said, yeah, bro, you are stepping me, you are stepping, what's going on? Switch the car, you are stepping, you are stepping. So I took the job. About a week later, another sister came up. She's Haitian. And she came up to me 8 o'clock in the morning. And she said, oh, I would like you to fix my car. Listen to this. And I would like you to tell me what you tell the insurance company. Strangest thing. You come up asking me what to tell the insurance company from the accident that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what was when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, I was driving along and I tried to escape a dog and I went to a hydrant.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened. She asked me 5 times
mm-hmm.
on my tape recorder, what should I tell the insurance company? 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
What should I tell them? I said, can I tell them I was never here?
Mm-hmm.
5 times.
Mm-hmm.
So next thing I know, I did the job. And when the adjuster come, again, I said, I think you no chance.
Mm-hmm.
When the adjuster come, and not on the girl call, on the black guy call, I said to him, oh, but it was an Indian guy. Came to look at the car. I said, by the way, the car came in and this damage was, I don't remember this name, but I went to the police and the customer called and said that he reported to the insurance company. So you don't have to write that. You can write this, write that, write that. And he just listened to me, but he didn't answer me. He didn't say nothing. So you write the whole call. They send me a check from about $5,000 to $6,000, I think it was. And I deposit the check and cash the check. And they come back me up. Insurance law.
So what was the cause? What was the...
They charged me for fraud. I forgot. I think I forgot to mention. But anyway, what they did was all for me. They hire a body shop owner like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And they have him take picture with the authentication or the authenticity. He took some far away, make it look this way, make it look that way. And he write up some stuff. They plan it. They set it up. They plan it.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about it, I have them on tape recorder.
Mm-hmm.
I have everything on tape recorder. That was my, I got both the woman and the man from day one on tape recorder. I had everything on my tape.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very confident. So when I went to court, they were lying their ass off.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, good, I got it. So when I came to court, I needed my tape for the court officer.
Mm-hmm.
So when they lie in testimony, I say, yes, I got him, I got him. God, I got him right now, I got him right now. So when the recess came, I said to my attorney, don't forget I got my tape downstairs. He said, yeah, 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 let me take it. He said, okay, let's go get the tape. He went downstairs, I got the tape. I came back to the courtroom, excited to know that he won't play to the jury. Now came to summation, and he said, Your Honor, I'm trying to find out why he's not put my tape into evidence.
Mm.
And he said, Your Honor, my client is not here to discharge. This case is solely based on a matter of law. And there's no law to justify the allegation against my client. Therefore, I ask this case to be dismissed.
Mm.
And he said to the prosecutor, it's a demon that he's done, Blanche. This woman is evil. And he said, Miss Blanche. And she said, I've nothing to say. I said, great. You know, this is Mr. Cake.
Mm.
Because she has no counter against me. And then the judge said, I reserve my decision. I said, oh. Mm. He supposed to say this. Mm. Because she has no counter. And my lawyer come to find out that they already have a plot against all of them. That there was a guy had a big case that they want to release.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to give me away for that guy.
Mm.
After they locked me up, the guy said that the lawyer told my family when they took me to the jail, and my family was there. He walked up and said something that I was guilty.
Mm.
And that was my case. Mm. Yeah.
That lawyer was a court-appointed lawyer?
No. Private law. One of the top trial.
You hired him?
Yeah. One of the top five trial lawyers.
One of the things, you know that they already make the ruling in the beginning.
Yes.
The defense attorney, the opposing attorney, the prosecutor, and the judge, they sit there in the beginning. This is going down like about American law. They sit in the beginning, they sit down, and they make up the decision. But they make you go through the motions.
Yes.
Okay. Making you think, oh yeah, you know what? This is going to come up. That's going to come up. So you say to your attorney, oh yeah, you know, remember this, remember this, because I've been in situations like that as well, where I have to remember this, remember that. Because they locked me up for child support, but at the same time, they were taking child support out of my check. But at the same time, my wife and I were not divorced. So how do you take child support? We're not divorced. Because we're going through a trial process of divorce. Because the judge told us, said, listen, before you go to divorce, there's a process. We want you to see counseling, go to family, whatever. We went through a period of all of that crap. And then they locked me up for counseling. I'm like, what's going on here? And I told the judge about the deduction from my check. They never even subpoenaed my pay stuff.
They don't care. They once they have a motive and it's in their best interest, they don't care. But you know,
my final analysis, one of the major things that they over the years they're finally coming out and saying that black people are a moneymaker for the court system.
Yes.
Because they can
they came in, so somehow, because of the way it's been in the past, that blacks were not legally represented in the court system back in the 1800s, 1900s, 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, black people are not smart. They don't understand. We're not, there's no way for you to enslave people, then make it a law that enslavement is correct. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Then say that people are free for the human being, so you can discharge any kind of legal law. There was a story where a woman was trying to run to Canada with her children, a slave woman. She tried to run to Canada with her children for freedom. They caught her. No, she saw them coming. She knew they were going to catch her. She said, before I allow my children to go through this agony all over again, I'm going to kill her. I'm going to kill myself and kill my children.
Oh, God.
So she killed, I think, two of the children, and then took the children. She didn't get this. I think she did something to them, but they didn't die. So when she got back to the town where she was at, she was going to trial. The judge said, there's no trial. And they said, why? There's no trial. She said, because she didn't kill human beings. You understand?
Right.
But she never got manslaughtered, nothing, because her kids not considered to be a part of them. Kids were not considered human beings. Now, going forward, there were civil rights that was implemented by Dr. King and human rights, which would apply to the criminal rights, because black people didn't get the criminal, black people didn't have the same criminal adjustment in the law because we're not considered a part of it.
Right.
So coming forth now, they are implementing the reason I think there's a high level of incarceration of black people and a high level of arrest and all this, because the law doesn't apply to us, and nobody ain't saying it. All them black judges sit on benches and let this stuff go past them and don't say nothing.
We don't know the rights. We don't know rights.
It don't apply to us.
Are we ignorant to
it? It doesn't apply to us like it applies to the white people. Because you sit and wonder sometimes how white, the little boy, Rittenhouse, Cal Rittenhouse, that killed some people during the Black Lives Matter movement. I don't know if you remember. He shot about 4, 5, 6 people. And he came from another town. And he went into this town, but like the cops was helping him, because the cops asked him, y'all got enough ammunition? I thought on the tape.
Right.
And then he killed. He just walked into the line, and when he saw people coming, he just started shooting them. So he said, he was only 18 years old or something. And he said, I was so scared, Your Honor. I fear for my life, and he started crying. I don't know if you saw the trial. He got free. I don't know if you saw it. They didn't charge him with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No, and he clearly, because there were so many people out on the street, maybe hundreds of people marching, and they all said, yeah, this dude, they told the cops when he shot the people that same night, he went home. Cops didn't arrest him. Cops was driving right by. And dude said, this man, he shot 6 people, him. The cops said, everybody get back. He ran to the police car. He got in the back of the car. I don't know where they took him. But all this is on tape.
Mm-hmm.
It's a setup. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That little white boy right now today is free.
Mm-hmm.
No charges for manslaughter, no nothing. And the government's paying his tuition for college and everything.
Wow.
And all the rich actors giving him money for cars and houses. And I'm saying to myself, this is some strange stuff. That means to tell me that these people, actors, whoever they are enforcing and helping these little killers, and they're supporting them and giving them money. Because the man, the boy that killed the 26 people in Texas,
right.
Texas, the soldier, he looked at all the guns and everything he had. He said, this gun here is an AK-47, it's used in the army for that, blah, blah, blah. That gun is worth $2,750. He said, this gun here that he has, is this what we use in the military? He said, that gun is worth $3,500. He said, the ammunition that he had $3,000 in ammunition. He said, when he told it up all together, he said the kid had $9,800 in guns and ammunition. The kid lived in a poor family. His mother ain't got no money on welfare. The kid has no job.
Makes sense.
He's a leftover in the high school. He had no credit.
So the
army guy said, how is this poor kid like this kid almost $10,000 worth of stuff?
Yes.
Where did he get it from? Don't you notice? Nobody's asking that question.
Right.
None of the judges, or politicians. Nobody's asking where the hell these children from these poor families getting all this ammunition. Yeah. It's these militia groups, these KKK, Nazi skinhead, these anti-groups.
Yeah.
They're giving them money.
Yeah, they're giving. It's bad. And the bad thing about it, we fight against each other every day. We can't come together. And so the racists against us, and we're against ourselves. And what they did to me, sometimes I don't really regret it, because that woman tried to give me 28 years suspension. She offered 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
The judge run it.
This is the black woman?
Yes, that's the case of the black woman.
Mm-hmm.
The judge, the woman offered 28 years,
mm-hmm.
and the judge run it consecutively and gave me 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
All these 7 years, I was supposed to do 4.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I end up doing 2 years and 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I ask myself, I don't regret it. Because not until recent years, before I got locked up, I was ignorant to the law. And I have a bad temper. And I always said, always have this thing, if somebody intimidates me, I know to fight well.
Mm-hmm.
And I studied martial arts many years ago, and I still have some skills. But if somebody intimidates me, and they look intimidated or act intimidated, there's a part of my heart just changed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can see myself is killing me.
Mm-hmm.
And I also confident in myself that if you come close to me, I have enough means and ability to get to you, and I'm killing you.
Mm.
I don't care how big and bad you are. I just want to get close to you, and I can kill you.
Mm.
And I'm not saying I'm going to keep my bare hand. Because if I have a misunderstanding person, I plan to fight immediately.
Mm.
I have a weapon in my pocket somewhere.
Mm.
And I just want to get close to you, and I know where to put that weapon.
Mm.
Whether it's a screwdriver or something, but I have it.
But they were saying something about... there were some people that kill for another treat you with their hands, right?
Yeah.
But they were saying that to kill a person with your hands is better than with an object.
I know.
Because the law look at an object,
yeah.
as if it's a weapon, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's why you see boxers and those guys that do the karate, the boxing in the cage. I forgot what you call them people. You know,
kickboxing,
but they got a name for it. And then professional wrestling.
Yeah.
They have to register their hands. Like Mike Tyson. His hands. Yeah, I don't know how he got away when he beat that guy on the airplane. I don't know what happened. How he got away with it. All the guys said he didn't want to charge nothing. But see, Mike Tyson's hands is registered.
Yeah.
As a lethal weapon. So when he using them, it's just like did somebody go to court and say, yeah, Mike Tyson hit me. I'd like to
have a gun on life. But I'm glad. Sometimes, one of the times I don't regret it, because my temper is so bad. They have something they call reaction time. Reaction time is the time you take the thing. I'm on impulse. If somebody intimidate me or threaten me, or I feel like this is a tough guy, my spirit gets crossed right away. And I don't become fearful. I'm not become fearful because now I'm planning to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And even Dwight, you know Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
I was outside the parking lot one time to kill Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because Dwight tried to come punch me in my face, in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was having a problem with Paula. Because Paula rent have a house that he shared with Dwight. And Dwight was giving a hard time because Paul is my friend. Dwight supposed to be my friend. Always try not to get involved. Because Dwight had rent her faith and took a lot of money from her and didn't give her money. So she said she was trying to leave the money out or something. But one day I called Dwight and I said, Dwight, why do you keep doing this to her, man? That's not nice. That's all I said.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm coming up to punch you in your mouth. Oh, my God. When he said that, I'm like, this is a dead man coming over here. I was so upset. I was so caught because the mentality of one mind is what drives you to the
to do something illegal.
Mm-hmm.
I when he said that, oh my God, I got so cross. I went downstairs. I prepared for this guy who popped up on the park, and I said, I don't care about nothing no more. This guy's a dead man this night.
Mm-hmm.
He never showed up. I'm on the parking lot for half an hour waiting, and he's not showing up.
One day he stopped me, and he said, tell Everett to get out of my way. Get out of my way. I don't know the hell he was talking about. He's not the white talk.
Yeah.
He talks, he'll walk up to you and say something, man, and you don't even know which way it's coming from.
Yes.
So I said, listen, I said, let me say something to you. I said, Everett got a lot of patience. I know for a long time. He's not the person to initiate anything. So if anything has been initiated, anything as far as anger or threat, I said, got to come from you. That's not his spirit. You know, for some reason, and I know him a long time, but for some reason, over the years, he took me like a father figure, you know, and I would talk to him. Because he was like you, he had a temper and everything. And I had to cool him down a couple of times to bring him down, you know? But you know the thing? With you have a lot of common sense. And you are a deep thinker.
Yes, I think very deep pride.
Right, because you're Gemini anyway, I believe. You know, because he's Gemini. You're a deep thinker. So we can get irrational, but we can think deep as well.
Because
now, with us, with Gemini, the most of it is because we're really pure good people. We're kind people.
Yes.
And then when that's what I'm learning to now, like my wife, my last wife in Jamaica, she said, Mom, you're always doing too good. You know, when she gets mad, she gets to her Jamaican patois. She said, Mom, you're always doing too good for people, and then they use your rod. I said, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But my mother told me, my mother said, listen, we were talking about family. She said, don't do so much with your family because they're not going to come back to you. So I said, Mom, listen. First of all, I do things according to my capability. I'm not giving everybody every single penny I got. I'm doing it according to my capability. But she said, they're not going to come back. The thing with them is people come at you using your intelligence and your kindness as a weakness. That's why I love that. I don't like, my nephew called me one time, he asked me to do something. And then he told me he didn't have the money. Then when I got there and I gave him the money, then he told me he was going to go do something. It didn't need, there was nothing, it was like a pleasure thing. It wasn't a serious thing for the kids. But I thought it was something for the children.
Right.
You know, so I get out of my car and I go. And so I didn't send it to him. I just watched what he was doing. So I said, nah. I told him, I said, nah. I ain't got it like that. I ain't going to do that. Not for that. I'm not going to do that. I thought it was something for the kids. I said, let me explain something. First of all, I don't owe you nothing. You're a grown-ass man. I tell my own kid, my youngest is 30. I tell him, listen, I don't owe you nothing. Honestly, anything I do right now at this point, after you dig it. Exactly. And it's kindness in my heart. I told my youngest one thing, my son, I told him I was going to talk to him no more. I said, don't call me.
Family, no family. I only respect the people who are around me. I want to do something with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tell people, my family is not here helping me. And they don't show, I don't have problem with my family, away from what I've disadvantaged them of me. But I'm the one who set the stage when I first came to this country. And I'm the one who always want unity in the family. I'm the one who always want unity in the black race. When many years ago, back in the 90s, 80s, late 80s, early 90s, the black American was fighting against Jamaican. Jamaican was fighting against the black American. And they were young kids. They were 14, 15 years old in Kubota. Some to them. Back then, every Jamaican just about carried a gun. And they, in far away. And the black American kids have to go to the emergency exit to leave the school. And all the Jamaicans in front of the cops. The Jamaicans, the police, they have a police officer at the door to search everybody who goes into the school that they can go.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jamaicans at school over there, how have they gone outside?
Mm-hmm.
And I went down and I said, this is ridiculous. I said, we all black people. We all from Africa. Right now, guys, I meet them all in the parking lot in the street. And I said, right now, if there's a race war start right now, the only thing we see is this. We don't see nothing else.
So we got to get this together now. Because if there's a race war start right now, we are you Jamaican, I'm American. No, no, no. We're going to speak together. So let's do it now. I'm the one supposed to.
But you know, let me tell you, I told somebody the last time, right? People will find a way, people will find a reason to be ignorant against one another. Because when I came from South Carolina, moved to Harlem, a lot of the kids in Harlem were like, oh, yeah, we're going to bust your ass because you're from the South. You're from country boys. It's just a country boy. We're going to beat you up, you know. And it was funny to me because them boys in New York, they had worked up a Southern accent. I didn't have a Southern accent. My mother and father, people used to argue with my mother and father and say, you got from South Carolina. I'm going to say, I'm from South Carolina. My mother didn't have that. Y'all going down there, you know. Yeah. Which is no problem.
She didn't sing it.
Right. She didn't have the
she didn't drive it.
She didn't right. She didn't cut up brick. My mother had a clear New York City English.
Right.
My father was a jazz singer. He traveled all around. He had a New York City English.
Right.
He didn't have a Southern accent, but my parents were born and raised in South Carolina. So they used to argue with my parents. And they used to the boys and the kids used to tell me, oh yeah, that's not your parents. You know, because sometimes I was okay, maybe I should make up a Southern accent because that's how they talk. Mm-hmm. And so when that kid was attacking me, I said, you know what, let me tell y'all something. Y'all got more country than I do.
Yeah.
Then when you go to their house, their parents are from Alabama, Mississippi, and all these places. They country. They're more country than me and my parents. You understand what I'm saying? But people will find a reason to want to. Then when they find out where I live, they find out, you know, my mother and father had grocery store, this and that, and how we live. Then they say, oh, you one of them boozy niggas. You think you better than us. High elevator with my, y'all think y'all better. Then we're going to beat you up for that. So I'm telling you something. People are people, and no matter where you come, they will find a reason why something is wrong. Well, one friend of mine had a church in Connecticut, guy from Jamaica. Everybody used to call it Jamaican church. At first, I didn't know. To my wife took me. My wife is from Jamaica, you know. She took me to the church. So I talked to the pastor. And he said, okay, one day I want you to come teach for me. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, when I came to the church, I said, everybody would come to talk to me. Everybody came to tell me that they came to ask me. The lady said to me, Mom, let me ask you something, Mom. Why do Americans so lazy? Drugs. And then she said, because you seem like a nice guy. She said, I can ask you. So everybody in the church, all the Jamaicans came and asked me why Americans are so lazy, so drug addicts. We're recipients and all these bad things. So I told the pastor, he was a smart guy, younger than me. He was like 28, 29 years old when he passed the church. That's my thing. I said, you know, and I made a joke of it. I said, you know, everybody came to me and they explained to me all the problems with African Americans. So the next time I went, he said, I want you to come next time. I went next time.
Yeah,
you can know.
I understand.
I thought it was a little thing I thought.
It was super cool.
Yeah. So he preached about I forgot the verse and the text, but he was preaching and he was telling them about the good things about being a Jamaican. Because you know you got Jamaicans, you got Americans in the church. He said, yeah, I want to say some good things about being Jamaican. And he said all these nice wonderful things, which is true. And then he turned around and he said, I want to tell you some good things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he said, I want to turn and he said, I want to also tell you some good things about being Black American. And so he started telling me good things and this and that. Then he starts saying, I want to tell you about, the text was about unity and togetherness. And then he was telling them, he says, I want to tell y'all.
That's it.
So far, so man, it's okay. If you need to see it like that, I'll let you know.
Yeah. I want to tell y'all about Harriet Tubman. I want to tell y'all about the journey of truth. I want to tell you about that. Then he stopped quoting all these historical names. He said, you know why I, as a Jamaican, can get on an airplane and come to America and go to the finest schools, get the best job, and be successful? He compared some of the Black people before me who died and suffer so I can do that. He said, so we have to honor our black people who died and suffered for us. He said, yeah, you're always going to find somebody that's not good, they're not right. He said, but then you have to look at the overall, as we see in Jamaica, great people. He said, some of the finest people in the world in Jamaica, as well as some of the finest black people right here in America. He said, but you gotta look for it. He said, you can either look for the good in folks, or you can look for the bad in people. He said, for us, the power of unity that God talked about it is looking beyond. He said, God looked beyond all our faults and what we saw our needs. So my thing, and I was saying this into the Ethiopian, I'm the International Vice President of the Ethiopian World Federation, and we got people from all over the Caribbean, all over Africa, and everywhere. They meet every Saturday at 1 o'clock, and we talk to everybody through Zoom. And I said to them, I said, listen, but right now there's a lot of tension with black people. Everywhere you go, they're clashing against each other.
And that's true.
I said, listen, a bad soldier will fight the soldier next to him while the enemy is coming to kill them. I say it's so important that we as a black people got a common enemy coming against us. And you can see it happen all over the world. I said, we're not sense enough to come together, fight against our enemy like an army, and conquer our enemy. I said, then once we conquer our enemy, then let's sit down at the table of brotherhood and sisterhood, and let's discuss our differences.
That's right.
One of the major issues with black people, I don't care what nobody says, but when I talk to black people, they say, hold on, man, we don't need to hear that. We do not know black culture. We don't understand it. Just like you said, we're all African. But nobody understands how Jamaicans, if what I was telling people is this, we should, I'll come to the Federation. I said, we should have a day where we digest the history of Jamaica. Kids should know what makes a Jamaican a Jamaican. Why somebody say Jamaica? You know, and I know that Professor Small said something years ago. Professor Small said, the problem with black people, they can't differentiate between culture and race.
Yes.
He said culture is Africa. Race is African-American, Jamaican, Trinidadian. That's race, which is created by
who? I was just listening to the other day. What's his name?
Professor Smalls.
Yes.
Glasses, gray beard. I'm trying to remember. Jeffrey Smalls?
John?
He wears a kofi.
Yeah,
and he wears glasses.
He's American.
Dr. American.
When people talk, he talks on the
African Lady Show.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
Boy, the guy's so smart.
And he's a bacteria, right?
Yeah.
Professor Small. You know Professor Small.
Yeah, that's him.
Professor Smalls, John Henry Clark.
Yeah.
They're all in the same Afrocentric.
I want to go back to one point. A couple of things I want to say. One is about why we Jamaicans struggle and fight so hard against what people believe that American people is lazy. And there's a reason for that. Now, I want to go back to my situation when I was rescued. Sometime, I'm going to go back to another one. Black people, I mean, I've had a problem with black people in the past. And I'm always so kind to people that when they hurt me, if somebody do something to them, I forget. Always remember. I'm always show my gratitude. And I always said, if I do something good to people, why would they destroy me and hurt me? Mm-hmm. After I do so much good. Because my heart is always kind to people. It's like I cannot tell people no. If I don't have $10, I'm going to borrow it for you. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And I've experienced that recently. I went to my garage, mm-hmm. and I have $110 since yesterday.
Yeah.
Because the guy was supposed to deliver a parchment.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of dollars in the bank. But I just pay my rent in the long run. I pay every dollar I got to the long run.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting some money next week.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any money in the bank much over. I can find maybe $400, $300, maybe $500 at the other bank. And, you know, and I'm not ashamed to tell people. You know, people do have to go, but it's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy paid over $40,000. His doctor probably owed me over $100,000.
Mm.
And then
I have all these people support that they did not need to help me. They're making the trouble. So I didn't have any cash in me, so to speak. So I said, you know something? The guy I work for the department said, he said, I'm coming today. So when I went to the shop, the guy came, and I have just the exact $110 to pay for the parts. One of the guys said to me, can I get $5? I'll go in my pocket, give the guy $5, and then say, oh, sure. I need $5 to pay the guy $110. And then I thought about it. I said, wait a minute. This guy's working today. I got to pay him today. And I don't have no money to pay him. I'm going to have to go to the bank. And the bank is back in Mount Vernon. So what should I do? I paid by my credit card and paid the $105. So I paid $105. At the end of the day, the guy tried to rip me off $250. He said $250. So when I asked him, civilized, you know, I don't get upset because I want people to, I want to be rational, explain to me I owe you $250. I said, hold on, I owe you $250. He said, I work 2 days, 2.5 days, because he said 3, then he brings them to 2.5 days. I said, I'll work 2.5 days. If you come to work, you know, 1 o'clock and you leave 3 o'clock one day, and you come to work the next day, 12 o'clock and you leave 4 o'clock. So what was something like that? I said, would that consider 2.5 days? He said, yes. I said, today, and I loaned you so much dollars. He said, all right, just give me $100. That's all he said. So I gave him the $100, and he said, did it make sense? And he said, yes. So now, I have no money in me. But if somebody asks me for a dollar, my mind tells me, I need to all my life, that's how I am. The person won't think I'm mean, and that would bother me. The person won't think that I don't want to help them or give them, that bothers me. I won't do it for myself. But I will borrow to loan to you. That's what I do. I do that so many times around the time. I don't have it for myself. And I won't borrow it for myself, but I don't want to let you know I'm going to borrow it to you. I could go to the bank around the corner, for example, and get a couple of dollars. But it was convenient for me to say, hey, you got $10? And the person said, yes, and I gave it. You know what I'm saying? And I said, well, because I know I have access to a couple of dollars if I really, you know. Yeah. So that was one of my kindness. Over the years, I rent people rooms, and I will people pay me rent. And at the end of the once a month, I will give a party for them. I'll give a party. And I would hire a guy, and because I was making money, I would simply tell a guy, the guy would say, man, I'm trying to get myself to gas. So listen, man, I want you to come to work every day, I want to come to work in time. The guy might say, I don't have a car, so listen, I got your car, don't worry. The guy might say, I don't have a place to do it, I say, find a place, I'll pay for it. That's the kind of thing that don't matter. In 2001, when the government oppressed me and caused me so much trouble, I said to myself, I need to pack up all my stuff and put in storage. I buy 2 40-foot trucks and trailer body. Just store my stuff. And at that point, I have no help at all. It was me and my girlfriend is the only one entering up my shop packing those 2 trucks and trailer body. And at that time, it came to my realization that I'm helping people all my life. And I never need help from anyone because I always have 14 employees. I could do all the gold in my work. I have to be there. I don't need to do because friends are never real. Friends don't invite you over to their dinner. Come have a dinner with me. Come home. Let me spend a dinner with you. It never happened. So I always said, if you have a friend, friends are supposed to be deep and real. You're supposed to communicate. You're supposed to talk. You're supposed to know each other's problem. You're supposed to stand behind each other, support them whichever way you can. And not turn it back against them. So I'm always a real friend, but I never really final with them. So I'll keep people trying to keep them associated. And that day when me and my girlfriend have to pack up that truck, I said, from now on, I have to learn who's in my corner and who's not. I'm going to stop reaching out to people so much. So I'm going to start asking people for help and really see how people really feel. Some people just never like that. They just never. So I learned over the years to use wisdom. But the scripture tells you, we must use wisdom. The God said, you know, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now, with those three things, you must use discretion. So I use discretion now because everybody said they need it, they don't need it. Then I started looking at the people and said, why are you all in that position? What did you do? Did you care? Did you try? A lot of people, they don't try. They don't care. They don't get it. They just said, listen, man, I ain't going to work. All the people's job on their extension and make money, they don't want to work. Okay. So a lot of people hurt me and took this advantage of me after I'm so kind to them. Almost every employee I give a car. And you know, right now that I have a car out here. There's two guys that called me. I took one back from them a few days ago. I said to myself, every day I get disappointed by the people I'm trying to help. And one guy was working for men, he never wanted to get around. And I found out what the guy would do. He would make fat women, ugly women, and he would use them. Make, and so he could live with them, get a car and get them or whatever. And I give the guy a car, and this guy wouldn't show up at work. And show up at work on time. And one day I called my office, and I said, brother, why don't you do this to me? You come to work, you don't show up to work, and you're going to come back. And he leave early. He said, to tell the truth, you're mad cool. That's what he told me. I gave another guy, I was seeing another guy walking on my street. Every morning, country boy, just came from California. Every day he walking past my, at the same time, working for Entertainment's Bakery and 2000 Eagle Valley. But he walked my up on the service road up the Southern State Parkway. And he went past my house every morning at the same time. And I admired that about him. So I said, real work, brother, he said, okay, Entertainment's Bakery. He said, yeah, man, I just came from California. I'm living around the corner with my uncle. So we told him, hello, for me. So one day he said, oh, man, I like the body work. I was working on my car garage. I hired a guy. This guy didn't have a girlfriend, and that changed his whole life. I gave him my full basement with 95 walls. I got a built-in safe in the wall. I got a pool table. I got a full bar set up down there. And two bedrooms, just beautiful. But I have my first one, I have my second floor. And I gave my elder Ronald Cadillac in turquoise green. And this guy changed overnight. No, he's getting girlfriends. And then the guy not coming to work no more. I can't see him no more. So I started talking to the guy about it. So after a long period of warm, I said, well, you have to take your business. How do you maintain? You defeat the purpose. That guy went across the street between the highway and the service road. There's a fence here that separates the highway from the service road. My house is here. This is the service road. You drop the fence in between the properties in between the Southern State Parkway. Yeah. That guy planted a piece of pipe over here this long because I've been asking the guy to do right. I said, listen, we have to turn that chair. This is my wife's road. The guy broke my arm with that piece of pipe. The guy wouldn't give up. And when I decided you got to go, that guy went across the street and tapped me with that piece of pipe. I had to step back in my house with the machete and I meet him in the middle. And I was so mad. When that guy go like this, transformed that pipe, the man stepped into him. And I just blocked him like this. And when I blocked him like this, you see when somebody hit you, you're supposed to go like this and wave it off. This way, the impact is not hard. And I waited up, but it was too hard. It's a pipe. Wow. So I broke my arm here. I could still feel about here. But the ambulance picked him up there. I didn't chop him, because I know the problem, but I stopped with that machete so hard until he was on the ground. The ambulance picked him up there.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. The ambulance picked him up.
That was the guy from California?
Yes. So when the cops
came, he felt like he crazy.
Yeah. So when the cops came to lock me up, it was one of my friends. So he said, Edward, you gotta leave. Because if the lieutenant comes here and you stand here, that's locked up. So I disappeared. Now another time, and then a guy came from
You know one thing though? Right now it's
4 after 10, and the store over here, supermarket, closes at 10:30.
Okay.
So I'm going to get ready to go over and pick up a little thing. So did you want something, or you good?
Let me get something. I'll share what you got. I'll share.
Okay. Then, all right. So I'll be back in a few.
Yeah.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
All right.
Time is the conversation. Oh, Robbie, off
please. No,
so, another time, Robbie, the guy, this is another guy, Robbie, came from down south. Guy came from down south, but he was in the South Bronx, amongst about the 40th in America. The Black American Jewish friends I had. And I always admired his style. I just came to the country.
Mm-hmm.
They were hip. They were playing. Soul Train music was going on. car wash was going on. That was the best day in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just talking to them like, what's up, my brother, fam? You know, there was the days, man. It was beautiful. They were my friends, you know? But what they never understand why they don't go to work.
Mm-hmm.
They're always in the building playing dice and chasing out the girl, but they would never go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I lost my accent because it's not so heavy because I've been around them, they didn't understand me. So they was like, excuse me? Excuse me? So I started touring like them, just my problem is going on. You know? Try to make they can understand me.
You know what the native people tell me? They say when they go down south, they say, Mom, they can understand what people say. Because Southern people get into it. It's a pet one.
Yeah, yeah.
So Southern person can go into something like, hey, man, going on there, that boy. Now, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But the average African-American from New York would understand it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a pet one.
Yeah.
But they don't call it. Dogs say pet one.
Yeah.
But they don't, call down south, they don't call it
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
They call them Geechee.
Geechee, right.
They're those
Gullah
people. They're African.
Yeah.
They got people in South Carolina, like in Hilton Head, over by a river. They're pure black,
mm-hmm.
black dark people.
So
they never mix with the white man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So those cultures mix with the other cultures, and that's where they people get that heavy
yes.
Southern accent that they use when they're talking to each other.
Yes.
And they don't want you to know what they're saying.
Yeah. Okay. So one of my brother came up from Jamaica, and his accent was very heavy. And the girls are like, they don't want to hear me talk no more because I don't have a heavy accent no more. No, I want to hear your brother. Where's your brother? Where's your brother? I'm like, oh, man, that's what I need. I need a girl. I know they don't want to hear me talk.
Right.
So that was what I go through.
There was a guy when I was a kid, right? I think I was 12 years old. There was a kid came from England with a Jamaican parentage. And he came to America. You know, the teacher said, oh, this is Paul Jones. And he's welcome to the class. He's coming in. So the kid came in. Now I'm watching. And all the girls around this kid. Oh my God, he's cute. Oh my God, he talks nice. And so I go over there and he's talking. Oh yeah, the bloody. He was talking like, not English people talk, you know. Blood.
Blood
I don't know, not the blood clot. The English people, you know how, I do say, jolly good.
Yeah.
Jolly good old chap. I do say, you know, that English talk. So he was from, you know, he was born and raised in England. So he had that English talk. And he was black. I mean, as you look at him, he was like any other black person. But he had that talk, and girls were like, oh, my God, he was so excited.
Yeah,
because his language was different, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Forget the guys from Jamaica now, because he has a whole different language. And I said, wow, that guy is the guy to hang around with, you know, because he knows he gets all the girls.
Yeah.
You know?
So let me tell them about that guy. So the guy came from down south. And back then, I have a way with the girls. You know, I was never aggressive, but the girls were just like me. So I was going to the train station with one girl. And while I'm there, another one getting off the train. So they got to meet because I live on the first floor of the window. My bedroom was right there. And the first thing, so the guy then just, well, the super was a young guy like my age. And it was a super for the building. So he would just like stand here and he would just stand there talking at the window. So one day he was standing by the super and the super said, man, this guy got some beautiful girls. And he said, maybe you're telling me? He said, man, I want this motherfucker to go into the transition one. I'm coming up with him. No. I said, yo, bro, what's going on with you, man? I said, I'm going to just stay next door with the couple and the two kids over there. And so there's one bedroom. What's up with that? I said, yo, man, I'm just holding the floor. And that touched my heart immediately. I said, come around. I said, come inside. He come inside. I said, listen, I said, I have two bedrooms here. A friend of mine was my roommate. He just moved with his girl. They can have this room. I said, and this is my kitchen. This is grocery. There's food here. That's your bedroom there. And I'm going to my job. I said, I can get your job. So I was going to school after. So I said, and make it back to school, man, try to do what's right. And one day I came home from, well, first of all, this is a small world because I live in the South Bronx. And for many, many years from then, from back then, from the 70s, I'm like, I went to a place and I think it was Westchester County. But I can't remember where in Westchester County I used to work back in the 70s. But what reminds me, I always talk about when I got this, when I try to get this guy a job. Mm-hmm. Because the guy just came from down south and he could not use the word Carlton Avenue, C-A-R-L-E-T, or he could not pronounce that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, listen, I'm working for a company in Mount Vernon,
maybe by Alabama.
I don't remember where in Alabama, but he could not say Carlton, that Carlton Avenue. I say C-A-R-L-E-T-O-N, Carlton Avenue. Carlton Avenue. I said, Carlton Avenue. Carlton Avenue. I said, it's not Carlton Avenue. It's Carlton Avenue. The guy get on the bus, go look for the job at Carlton Avenue, tell the bus driver he goes to Carlton Avenue. And the bus driver said, I never heard of you. He sit on the bus to the end of the bus stop, and it was Mount Vernon. And he went back to the train station to 41st Street and went back home.
Wow.
So from the 70s, I'm like, man, I wish I remember where Westchester County used to work when I first came here. Can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And because I always talk about Carlton, I was going to talk about this particular guy.
Mm-hmm.
When I opened the place in Columbus Avenue, I'm working right here in this building right here. And Carlton Avenue is right here. And one day I said, I'm talking about the guy. And I said, wait a minute, this is Carlton Avenue. I want to park my cars up the street. I'm saying, why this place, why the name of this place sound so familiar,
man?
The machine shop is at the end of the block where I used to work.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
And all these things I'm trying to remember, where was sister? And the only reason I remember, because I always tell people the story about this guy in Carlton Avenue.
Wow.
And I went there and I said, is this so-and-so? The father retired, there's something called new business.
Wow.
So one day I give the guy $2, order my bicycle, take the train, and get out to an ambassador job. Took up me to get the job. Well, the Jewish man realized he was a black American, he said, I don't want black American. Mm-hmm. The Jewish man.
Oh, yeah, they don't like us.
He's still alive.
But you know why they don't like us, right? None that we did. You know why they don't like us? Let me tell you. Let me tell you about the Jew, how it backstabs. And this is history. This is, I'm not telling you that to make Black American look good. I'm not telling you a lie. This is history. You can Google it and find out. When Hitler started 1938, Hitler started this Hitler from Australia. He's not German, but he noticed that the Germans that were not Jewish were being economically deprived, but the Jewish people had money all the time. So Hitler was mad. He was a Jew now, but he was mad because his family was poor in Australia. And somehow he felt Jewish, but messed him up, and he wanted to get back at the Jews. So he started this rumors in Germany and got the Holocaust going. When the Jews come to Ellis Island, they say, oh, all the Jews came to Ellis Island.